It is Serrata Murciano. How you doing?
Hi there. Happy Friday.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, the first hour of our show. And coming up, some travel tips. Johnny Jett checks in. And we'll also talk to him about how apparently it's now very legal to keep your devices on during takeoff and landing. That and other travel stories on the way. What's hot on social media? Scott Kleinberg will have that at about 12:37. And before we end the noon hour, we'll check in with Front Row Phyllis, get a heads up on some upcoming concerts you want to know about. First, it's John Carpenter from Blue Sky Innovation at the Tribune, covering startup ventures and more, including this story about 3D printed food. Fill us in here, John.
Well, 3D printed food. Well, we got the National Restaurant Association in this week, so that, you know, brings all kinds of food stuff. 3D printed food. That, you know, 3D printers, most 3D printers work like sort of glue guns. They have jets that spray, in most cases, kind of a plastic material, but you can load just about anything into them. And they're starting, the sort of low-hanging fruit is sugary stuff. So bakers and companies that serve bakers are creating these 3D printers that you fill it up with, like, sugar, whatever, and you can print really whatever you want. What they're using it for is cake toppers and decorations. I mean, we on our website this week, we had a picture of this awesome full-size, really elaborate sort of laced skull that was totally edible and made of food. The future of 3D printed food, when we have the technology to use like more complex materials, is hot food and cheeseburgers and things like that. And to me, the most fascinating thing about that is, in order to 3D print something, it has to have a computer file. It has to have a digital file that you can load into the 3D printer, and it knows exactly what to do. So you, in the future, you'll be able to say, hey, I just ate this awesome cheeseburger. I'm emailing it to you. And you will pick up your email, load it into the 3D printer, print it out, and eat it.
But you would have to have the exact ingredients
right
in your own computer.
Yes.
I can't even imagine putting raw meat in my computer.
I know.
That's crazy. Well,
it may be some sort of meat substitute or some sort of combination of chemicals that create meat.
I don't know.
Oh, boy, the calls to the helpline.
Yeah,
can you imagine?
That does not sound good. But you know what? I know that Bob's not going to care about this, but please tell me about Kate Spade.
Oh, the Kate Spade. Yeah, we talked about Everpurse last week. This was a company that was selling purses that charge your phone, and they ran into some problems. They took a lot of pre-orders. They weren't able to make the stuff, and there were a lot of unhappy customers. They have announced a deal with Kate Spade, so Kate Spade is going to be making these purses. It's a licensing deal, basically.
But they're going to be making them in Chicago, or it's just that Everpurse is based in Chicago?
Everpurse is based in Chicago, and they basically have gone from being a manufacturer to licensing their technology. So Kate Spade obviously knows how to make things better than they do, and it looks like they're going to be able to fill those orders.
It just seems like the perfect match, because that's what Kate Spade is known for,
right?
Making convenient, stylized products.
Absolutely. And it's probably what they should have done all along, but you know, that's what happens with businesses. They start off thinking, hey, we're going to be manufacturers, we're going to make something, and then they realize it's not working. Unfortunately, in this case, there were a lot of customers that kind of were unhappy.
Right.
But, if they're happy, chances are maybe it's going to be something nicer than what they originally bought.
Yeah, so. Probably.
New startup company in Chicago, Breeze Car Leasing. What are they all about?
Well, this is, we've talked to people are probably familiar with Uber and Lyft and some of these companies that allow you to use your phone to book a ride. The beauty of this for the drivers is you can kind of make your own schedule. You just sign up to be an Uber driver and you drive whenever you want. And Breeze is serving that market. It's for people who don't have their own cars, maybe can't afford their own cars, but still want to make some money. It's basically a finance. They lease cars and then they will lease you a car. And it's $195 a week. And you can turn the car in with 2 weeks' notice whenever you want. So if you're a recent college graduate, you don't have anything lined up for the summer, you don't have a car, you can sign up with pretty low threshold for credit, make some money, and then when you're done, turn the car back in. So it's kind of an interesting, satellite company to these ride booking companies.
I wonder how old you have to be, because I'm thinking my son, He needs a job.
You know, that's a good question. I would think you would have to be 21, but I don't know, because you're essentially leasing a car. But maybe not. I mean, one of the things they say is it's you don't necessarily have to have like pristine credit. You have to have a driver's license. You can't have a bankruptcy and things like that. But it's a pretty low threshold. And, you know, you get yourself a Toyota Prius. And, you know, you can, if you work enough, you'll pretty easily be able to recoup that $195 and then some. And the key thing is then when you get a different job or want to move on, you're not stuck with that payment. You can just turn that car back in.
I'm talking to more and more people who are telling me they're doing this part-time, driving for Uber or one of the other services now.
That's the beauty of the platform, right? You don't have to hire a fleet of drivers. Mm-hmm. You can say, okay, I'm going to, like, it's attractive to musicians and artists and people like that because they work at night. You can say, you know what, I've got all day today. I'm going to go make some money.
Exactly. John Carpenter, Tribune Blue Sky Innovation, and it's sponsored by Elk Grove Village. Thank you, John. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, John.
Have a great weekend.
We call this the business class department. Every week, our visit with Johnny Jett, proprietor of the JohnnyJett.com website. Everything you will ever need to know or do regarding travel is right there. And Johnny's right here or somewhere in the world. What's
Hi,
up,
Johnny?
Hi.
How you doing?
Where in the world are you?
I'm in New York City. I was in Miami yesterday and L.A. a few days before that.
We're told that 222 million passengers will take to the skies between June 1st and August 31st. That's up 4.5% over last year. So I guess this means higher ticket prices, get your tickets sooner rather than later. What does it mean to you, Johnny?
Well, actually, they say it's going to be the busiest summer of travel ever in the U.S. And although I don't think the prices are going to go up that much, actually, so I think that's the good news. So, although, you know, if you're traveling during the peak hours, you better start buying your tickets in advance. You know, everyone's going to want to leave Friday after work or school or travel during the major holidays. So, you know, being flexible is key.
And why is it going to be this summer so busy?
A lot of reasons. One is that the economy is doing very well. Two, the dollar is really strong compared to, you know, the euro has dropped. The Canadian dollar is, you know, like going to Canada's right now is 19% off. You know, and also the gas prices are down much farther down than last year. So this is a year that people are going to travel. And also the winters were so bad, especially in Chicago and the Northeast, that people just they want to get out. They want to escape.
All we've been hearing about in recent years, airlines cutting back on flights. So now are they adding seats because of this increased demand?
Well, you know, what they're doing is they're adding bigger planes. So a lot of the same routes, but they're putting in bigger planes. They're getting rid of a lot of the regional jets, which no one really likes, including myself. I hate getting on those little things.
Mm-hmm.
So they're putting bigger planes, so there's more seats. That's why I don't think ticket prices are going up. You know, they're staying the same. And actually, I've read some reports saying they actually went down a percentage point or two. So, but it all depends on where you're going and when you're flying.
Johnny, if people have not made, like us, for example, specific summer plans yet, and you want to take a trip somewhere cool, somewhere, I don't mean cool temperature, I mean, you know, somewhere hip, whatever, or somewhere, just fun, and it may be even outside the country, what do you suggest at this point? Are there places that are, like, still really good deals?
For sure. I mean, one thing to do is to sign up for different newsletters. I mean, I offer a deals newsletter. There's a bunch of them out there, so sign up for them, get some ideas, find out where the deals are, and then think about going there. But if you have specific places in mind, you know, you always want to look to get a package deal. There's other websites you can use. Like Google has a new website that's called Google Flights, and you can put in your city, you can put Chicago in, and then you can do explore the map, and it will show you, you know, the prices all around the world, how much it will cost for that weekend or whatever days you put in. So that's a good way. But I mean, I was seeing deals yesterday. Brazil round trip for $252 round trip, and it was from, you know, major U.S. cities.
You're kidding. Bob, let's go to Brazil. What's, yes.
I'm imagining a picture now in my mind that I don't want to share with anybody that has to do with Brazil. Johnny, talk about the business of your devices being on during takeoff and landing. Is something changing now with that?
Well, no, the flight attendant union was actually fighting the rule that, I guess it was the FAA, that allowed, you know, passengers to use electronics, you know, during taxiing. You can't be, you're supposed to be in airplane mode, but you can still be using your book reader if you want, or check emails offline, but you're not supposed to be texting or making phone calls once you push back from the gate. But once you land, you know, you're welcome to make phone calls and things like that. So that's staying right now. It looks like it's staying for good.
JetBlue and Alaska Airlines continued their stranglehold atop the annual J.D. Power Customer Service Satisfaction Survey of North American carriers. Those airlines had the highest customer satisfaction ratings for their frequent flyer programs. Looking at the list, 2015 airline ratings, Alaska Airlines number one with the traditional carriers, and JetBlue number one with the low-cost carriers. Do you fly JetBlue ever?
You know, very infrequently, but when I do, you know, it's a great airline. They actually offer the most legroom out of all the carriers for coach. I think it's 34 inches, so they used to be 35. So they offer the most legroom, which I like about them. They have free TV. You can't go wrong there. And the flight attendants have a really good attitude, or most of them do.
And now you can go to Cuba on JetBlue, right?
Well, you can, Marianne.
Well, they are all having flights now from New York to Havana, but they're charter right now. So
yeah.
They're right. All charter flights.
It's not open to tourism just yet. Are you surprised about Alaska Airlines being one, Delta two, and American three in this airline rating of customer satisfaction?
Is this for the frequent flyer or for in general?
They actually had those positions... just customer satisfaction. In addition, the frequent flyer programs were rated separately, I guess.
Okay. So, no, I'm not surprised. Delta is a really well-run airline. And Alaska, same thing. Actually, those two are going head-to-head in Seattle. I don't know if you follow that at all, but Alaska Airlines, that's their home turf, and then Delta moved in, and they were partners, and then they just started offering, you know, just competing against Alaska and all their routes and offering double miles. So it's been nasty between the two of them, but they're both, you know, they both have great customer service. Delta has a terrible freaking flyer program, though. You know, you can't use them. They charge double the points.
Mm.
But it's a well-run airline, and they're making a lot of money, but they're making some crazy moves, in my opinion.
And does a seasoned traveler like you look at this Memorial Day holiday weekend and think this is a great time not to go anywhere?
Well, yeah, for sure. When, you know, big-time travelers or people who travel often for work, you know, they try and stay away from the busy times, you know, the day before Thanksgiving, you know, the big holidays, Memorial Day, July 4th, right before. You know, usually you want to fly on those holidays when people are not traveling.
Right.
And so, but if you do travel, just, you know, just allow plenty of time and pack your patience.
And as they say on all TV newscasts, call ahead. Because one would never think of doing that
you
without that tip.
You can't get through, though. You can't get through.
No, you can try, though. JohnnyJet.com for more, and we'll talk to you next week.
Have a studio.
Oh, you're here with us in person next week.
Well, that will be very nice.
We look forward to that. I think you'll like Chicago. But you've been here many times, haven't you?
I do. I love Chicago. I just don't like it in January.
Well, you're not alone. Have a good holiday weekend, my friend.
You too. Take care.
Thanks.
Business headlines and the stories behind them. The Wintrust Business Lunch, Saturday edition, tomorrow at noon on 720 WGN.
Hashtags, likes, and shares now. Scott Kleinberg is here, the Tribune So Social columnist. Is that syndicated around the country?
Yes. And
I love that.
Seen it. Thank you. I've actually seen it in international papers, too, so it's pretty cool.
Well, wow. I guess Gloria Estefan was not the only international star we've had on the radio this week. Scott, let's talk about a story that is very relevant with so many people on the road right now and all weekend. Google updating their map app. Have they done this already?
Yeah. It's actually rolling out with an update. But yeah, it's available for Memorial Day weekend. And it's really, really cool because it tells you what's ahead in terms of upcoming traffic conditions. Now on these maps, you know, you can get a layer kind of thing and it tells you where to expect the problems. This is actually updating in time to tell you where these things are.
And I thought it was already that way. That's why I
Not as intelligent to tell you that it's like happening and to give you and to tell you why you should consider an alternate route, which is great too.
So then is it already part of the Google Maps?
It would be part of the app. Yep.
We don't have to do anything. We can just start using it already?
Well, you should be if you have to upload the update to the app if it exists. If it says update now, it'll have those features in it. But if you go on the website and whatever, all the stuff is there.
Okay, so I'm going to definitely check an update because I use Google Maps all the time.
I do too.
For everything, yeah.
I do too. I think it's great when I drive, when I walk, all the time.
Exactly, and even if I know how to get home, you know, obviously I know how to get home.
Yep.
I use Google Maps because I always thought it would tell me the fastest way.
It usually tells you, it tells you what it thinks is the fastest way, and then sometimes, depending on the route you're taking, it gives you three different options, which is really cool if you click on it, which I like that
too. So now what's different is that it is for sure the fastest way because of satellite communications?
Well, but it's telling you where there's construction and where there's road closures and that kind of stuff. So if you're driving, it's especially helpful, I would think, if you're driving into an area that you don't know very well and all of a sudden you come across these road construction signs, those things would be helpful. But if you have this on your dashboard and it's in front of you, I think that's super helpful.
Yeah.
We have breaking emoji news to report, Scott.
Breaking emoji news. Yeah. I love how that sounds. They've approved 38 new emojis to be released next year. And there's like a final list and they should go through barring any unforeseen circumstances. But what's interesting about it is just because these emojis come out, there's like this consortium that decides it. They only become actual emojis on an iPhone or on an Android device on their regular programs if they decide to support it.
Okay, so we were talking about this a little while ago because I was telling you about this other. In fact, I just sent you a message, and if you click on it, you'll see the emoji, which I designed after myself.
Very nice.
I get to put, you know, like the regular, you know, whatever clothing. I could have had a little tight black dress on, but I decided not to.
Well,
this
why
emoji.
Not? Why
well,
not?
Well, I could change it because it's, you know, casual Friday. But anyway, but so how is it that an app, like, forget these. I mean, this one's called Bitmoji.
Right.
But how is it that what you're saying is more widespread and more official?
I think there's a slight difference between there being actual emoji that's built into an operating system like an iPhone and an app that has emojis. And they both do the same thing. They absolutely do the same thing. And I like your example so much better because I can create my own, which I think is a fantastic thing.
However, the downside is that if you do have like Bitmoji or whatever it is, you have to actually go to a different keyboard in order to use it.
Exactly.
So what you're saying is that this is something that you don't have to go to a keyboard. It just exists.
Exactly.
On your keyboard.
Right. And there are universal emojis, for lack of a better term, where like if you go to a website and you look, it'll say these emojis are recognized on this phone with this operating system. Mm. These emojis you can copy into your Twitter and Facebook bio because everything uses like a different thing that picks up. Because sometimes when you see a symbol, you see like a little square and you don't know what it is.
Yes.
That's because somebody is using an emoji or a feature that's incompatible with an older phone. So that's why that happens. These emojis that I'm talking about, these are the official ones where that wouldn't happen.
Okay. So everybody would get a chance to see these.
Everybody would get a
and
chance to see it.
And who votes on this stuff?
They listen to like what people say, but it's called the Unicode Consortium and they make the final call, which is fascinating. But then what they do is they say, okay, Apple, we have voted on these 38 emojis. If you want them, they are available. Apple tends to go in its own way. You know, they created those new emojis recently with the different skin colors and different flags and those things. But there are all these people out there, I don't know why, but there are all these people out there that are like, we need bacon emoji. And they have bacon on the list. So all of a sudden,
it's too small to know that it's a piece of bacon. It's like, it's too little. Like, you just see like a little brown thing.
And little bacon is not worth it. It's true. It should be a big piece of bacon.
I'm continually fascinated by things like this. For example, emoji. Now, not too long ago, that'd be a word that no one would know. No one would understand what you're talking about. Many people still don't. But things move so quickly now. And I was thinking about that when I was reading your story, Scott, about Microsoft's solitaire game. This is hard to believe that it's 25 years old.
This is one of those weeks where you see Microsoft Solitaire is 25 years old, Pac-Man is 35 years old, you know, all of these crazy things that are happening. And, you know, I like what Microsoft is doing with this. They're having competitions, you know, to celebrate 25 years. They're having internal ones within Microsoft. They're going to open that up to the public later this summer. You know, I think that's really cool. But you're right. I mean, 25 years of playing solitaire at work. It's crazy. Yeah,
I know. And finally, let's talk about KFC and what they're doing.
You know, I read this three times because I didn't believe it can possibly be true. But apparently one of the biggest complaints is when you're eating your fried chicken and your fingers are greasy and you're touching your phone screen, your phone gets full of chicken grease. So this is one of those paper trays that go over the top of your tray that actually has a Bluetooth keyboard. So you can type on this keyboard while you're eating. And if you connected to your phone, that means you wouldn't have to touch your phone with your chicken stained hands.
Now, so they're offering this now at KFC?
They're offering it. It's not in the U.S. It's an international thing right now. And I think they tend to test those internationally and then see if they're popular over here, because a lot of countries, like, that's like something that people would expect, versus here where we're sitting here and we're like, oh my gosh, that's, you know, just really crazy. But the thing is, you know, it's like, do you take it home? Do you give it back? They're supposedly recyclable, but people don't always recycle it. So I don't know how much that could possibly cost the company. And honestly, the time that it takes for me to sit there with my lunch and pair a keyboard to my phone and then start using the other keyboard, I don't know if that would be for me.
It seems a little crazy, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
KFC, we do Bluetooth right. Scott Kleinberg, So Social is the column.
Thanks,
in the
Scott.
Tribune. Have yourself a good weekend.
Have a great weekend, guys.
Dow Jones down about 10 points at the moment. Time for a check on the entertainment business, and here to give you a heads up on concerts, shows coming to Chicago. Say hi to Front Row, Phyllis.
Hi.
Hi, Phyllis. I love this service that you provide, because I can't tell you how many times I look in the paper and I see the show that I missed.
Right,
And I hate that. I think, you know, well, why wasn't I looking for something? And that's what you are here to do, is to tell us what is coming up, even though you may not see it like anywhere yet.
Right. And I think that all of us are on so much, you know, information overload that, you know, unless somebody's giving you that information direct, you know, that's what we do. So that's a good thing.
Great.
Who's going to see New Kids on the Block Saturday and Sunday?
Right. I think I am.
Yeah.
New Kids on the Block. I want to, right? It's actually going to be a great show over at the Allstate Arena. Tomorrow evening's show is sold out. So Sunday evening show is still available. Tickets are available.
Okay.
They're going to be with TLC and Nelly. And the show's going to be really different because they wanted to do it in the round. So
cool.
Which is really great because, you know, Allstate is so big.
Yeah, that more people get better seats.
Yeah, and it's a little up close and personal. So I like that.
I'm looking forward to Chelsea Handler. I wish I could go. It's Sunday, isn't it?
It is. It's on Sunday also. And that's over at the venue inside the Horseshoe Casino. And that's in Hammond. And that's just a great, first of all, it's a great venue. And she's so funny. She's one of the funniest comedians out there. And she's actually kicking off her, promoting her new book. So, and so you'll hear some stories from her book as well as her life stories, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm, I'm sure. We had Craig Ferguson on the show with us the other day, and talk about a funny guy and a smart guy.
Yeah.
And he's going to do a couple of shows in the area next week, is it?
Yeah, he is. On May 28th, he's going to be over at the Rialto Theater in Joliet. And he's bringing his tour, which is Hot and Grumpy, is what it's called. So since you got a chance to meet him, I'm not going to say anymore, right?
Hot and grumpy.
Hot and grumpy. Perfect.
He'll be in Waukegan too at the Genesee. And then many big shows coming to our theater district here, starting with Once.
Right, right. June 2nd through the 7th over at the Cadillac Theater. And you know what? If you love Broadway musicals that really touch at your heart, this is one to see for sure. And it's called Once, and it's the story of an Irish musician, and you know he's about to give up his dream until he meets the girl. Now we don't know what happens, so you have to go see it.
Okay, and around the same time we have On Your Feet. We just had Gloria Stefan in the studio a couple of days ago talking about that, and I think the first shows start on June 2nd, but it doesn't officially open until later.
17th, at the Oriental. Right. In October, Josh Groban is coming to the Chicago Theater. Now, this is one of those shows that I think you were talking about, Marianne, where people like don't hear about it and then the tickets are gone.
Right.
But there are a lot of Josh Groban fans around, aren't there?
And they should be, because Josh Groban is pretty big, and he has not toured in quite some time. It is October 16th and 17th over at the Chicago Theater. And he's now kicking off his new album, which is called Stages. And it's a great new album. It's actually a collaboration of, you know, some of the greatest musical theater songs all put together in one album.
Oh, that Bob will be getting that album.
Right.
I have that on my bucket list.
Yeah.
For more information on these shows and ticket info, where do they go, Phyllis?
They just go to frontrowphyllis.com.
Enjoy the
Thank
weekend.
You, Phyllis.
Thank you.
See
you too.